Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, again, it's happened about a couple of weeks ago. The recently completed JCAA tournament. Now, the one thing about here, the seven ports, it's like a tournament within a tournament on these seven ports. But also, the second year in a row, they had a $50,000 winner with a fluke over 12 pounds. And from what I understand, it was more than one fluke over 12 pounds. Go join us on the line. Good friend of Rack and Fin Radio for all the 20 years we've been on here is Tom Foti. He's the legislative chairman for the JCAA and also New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs and a bunch of other things. I don't have much time, so I want to get right to it with Tommy. And we're going to touch on the new stripe regs that go into effect tomorrow. Hey, Tommy, how's it going, man? Congrats on another big win, man.
Yeah, it was a big win for the people that fished in the tournament. Jersey Coast still didn't make much money.
I know. But, Tom, let me ask you this. Do you think this could really jumpstart next year's participation? I know weather's always a factor. Don't get me wrong. But, Tom, second year in a row. Now, the fluke fishing has been off the hook, pun intended, people. But, Tom, 2 years in a row with fish over 12 pounds? That's amazing.
No, it was only one fish over 12 pounds.
Oh, there was only one. I thought there was a second one.
No.
Oh, well. My notes. I was scribbling. What can I tell you?
Yeah. But and I mean, even in the southern regions this year, they all won with a 6-pound fish almost.
Yeah.
So there was big fish around, even down in the southern regions. Long Beach Island had a 6.5, and Barnegat had a 5.5, then it was a 7.44 in Manasquan, so they caught. I mean, this is, talk about hitting twice. Now, we have the following week, we have the award ceremony.
Right.
And I told you to show up and buy an entry for $150 because you could win a $31,000 boat.
He did, and I didn't.
So anyway, only 74 boats out of the 121 showed up to the award ceremony.
What?
So that means you had a 1 in 74 chance of winning a boat, motor, and trailer. Well, luck strikes twice. The guy, Cliff Henson, from East Brunswick, basically caught his second, got his second boat from the Jersey Coast Fluke Tournament.
Are you
serious?
Years ago,
he won a Cobia boat, and this year he won the Godfrey boat.
I remember that. That was years ago, but Todd, that is great.
You and I couldn't be there because of my neck.
Yeah.
But it was really, the people don't show up, and we give away 50 dog prizes for 74 people, 74 boats.
That was
so
amazing.
Everybody almost got a prize. It was a great success. We gave away over $120,000 in prizes and money, and the guy that won it up, and I guess he fished the same region that everybody, Edward Schaefer from Richford High. He basically, he caught another 12-4. I guess it was the same price somewhere about in Raritan Bay. I understand a lot of boats were fishing under the Verrazano Bridge, but I didn't say nothing.
Yeah, Tommy, I heard it somewhere. There was even a second 12. I said, well, I didn't have time to check that. But still, Tom, again, back-to-back, okay, that has to augur well for next year.
Yeah, and also, we charge $25 a boat for the insurance policy. But only, I think, 75 boats put the $25 in. So you could have been one of those extra 20. Like we had 1 year, guy caught a 12-pound and didn't win the $50,000 because you put a $25. But the insurance policy next year, I don't know what it's going to cost us. This year, it costs us over $3,500. And next year could even be more. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Tom, I don't know. I just believe in my heart that this is going to be the JCA, that annual fluke tournament, is going. It's working its way slowly but surely back to greatness. Listen, that was probably, Tom, was that the biggest flounder tournament on the East Coast, if not the entire coastal U.S.?
Well, I think it covers the most ports. Don't think it has right now, the one in Delaware has the biggest numbers, but they're basically because they have 9 bars for the 3 days they fish.
I was saying, but Tom, in the heyday, I remember what was it, the one, 800 boats, 900 boats one time you guys had?
No, we actually, for 4 years in a row, I think it was 5 years in a row, had over 1,000 boats.
That's what I said, slowly but surely, Foti, coming back to greatness and prominence again.
Yeah, the only thing we need is some young people to help us, is that we always talk about. All these battles we fight, and everybody working on the flute tournament was over 60, and five of us were seven people, and the other five of us were over 70, 75.
And, Tom, again, the logistics involved are just amazing how, you guys pull us off year after year. But, Tom, what's equally impressive, if not more so, the list of loyal sponsors.
Yeah, I mean,
I know how it is out there, Fodi. You know my position in the industry all those years. It's tough, and you guys keep producing.
I mean, Don Morantz went into Godfrey Boats and says, you know, we could use a boat, motor, and trailer if you have one. He says, yeah, we'll give you a boat. So New Jersey Outboards gave us a Godfrey 16-foot pontoon boat with a trailer. That's worth $31,000. We're lucky there. And Penn was generous as usual, Pure Fishing, and so was Engels Coolers. The prizes we have are all worth over $250, every one of the seven port prizes. And the big prize is $1,200.
And, Fodi, let me tell you something. Let me tell you some people.
And resorts, too.
Yeah, Morantz is what? Even at his age, he's about 6'7". He's pretty intimidating. I'd give him a boat. He came in and asked me.
He's 6'4" with his twin brother, Al.
Man,
and they've been working with
boy.
Jersey Coast before I was there, and they're now 81 apiece. And they've been working with Jersey Coast for over 42 years.
Tom, listen, I want to get to the Striper, well, I guess you can't say fiasco, whatever it is. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Debacle. Cool. And it's a disaster. It basically is. It's unnecessary disaster that we put on anglers this year.
Tom, it kicks in. It kicks in tomorrow. Now, from what I understand, you hear the matter of the chatters. There's again, you always hear this in something like in a situation like this. There may be lawsuits filed, a whole bit, whatever. But from my end, Tom, that whole process seemed pretty rushed, pretty sketchy, all of it, and the way the other states just jumped in line. What was your take on that?
We didn't know about this emergency action till the Friday before the meeting. So we found it over the weekend of the meeting. I really wasn't sure what it was until I got down there. And then I listened to it. I says, what the hell are they doing? I mean, truthfully, we have a striped bass stock that's the spawning stock biomass is way above where it should be to produce the highest young of the year. Because it has produced the highest young of the year with less female fish.
Right.
We've actually, the last couple of years, we produced the fourth and eighth highest young of the year. But we basically did it because there's a reference. After the last three amendments, the people that want to do strictly catch and release has pushed through us to keep raising the reference points. And so we made it tougher and tougher to be to not be overfished. And that's the problem here. And we were overfished because New Jersey caught a lot of fish, and New York caught a lot of fish last year. Wait a minute. If we don't catch a lot of fish, they say the stock's in trouble, so they got to cut us back. If we catch a lot of fish, the stock's
in trouble.
We can't win. I mean, this is truthfully, we can't win. The same thing happens with black sea bass scub.
Yep.
Because there's so much out there, we catch them. They say, well, we got to restrict you because you're going over your quota. You're going over the targets. And I'm saying, but the fish are there. We're two times above target. We're three times above target, and they don't care.
Tom, is it politics? Is it, you know, the sincerity, or I say lack of sincerity? Because I talked to a few people on the boards that say, well, you know, we have to err on the side of caution. That seems to be like the automatic, we have to err on the side of caution.
It's politics. Error on the side of caution. The spawning stock biomass and everything is bigger than we have. Now, are there problems with the striped bass spawning in the Chesapeake Bay? Damn straight. They basically, because of Virginia's idiocy, in a couple of, 10 or 15 years ago, when they put the blue catfish in the rivers in Virginia, and they went and wound up in the Chesapeake Bay. You have these 100-pound catfish gobbling up all the fry, not only striped bass, yellow perch, probably crabs and everything else. I mean, and then you basically have the water quality, and as we heat up the water, and you and I have talked about this 1955 study.
Right.
And we basically
what a Tom, excuse me, listeners. If you, I don't know if you're where they can get hold of it, but what a paper, Tom. That was riveting.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the, and we didn't realize this when the stock started. I didn't realize it as one of the commissioners in the '80s. Well, I wasn't a commissioner in the '80s. I got in '90, but I didn't realize what water temperature warming up was causing us. If you think about those stocks that we fished in 1955 when I was 7 years old and used to go with my father at a Sheepshead Bay on a charter party boats, we basically would catch ling, whiting, Boston mackerel, and a whole bunch of other species. They were probably the most important species in New Jersey and New York, if you look at that table and those charts. Now, three of those species are gone, and they basically kind of disappeared during the 80s as the water started warming up, and we never collated the two together.
Right.
And that's what's happening here. We got warm water in the Chesapeake Bay that is not conducive for them to basically be spawning in the right way.
Thomas, pollution a factor?
Pollution's a factor, and we spent, over the years that I've been involved with this, we've spent billions and billions and billions of dollars cleaning up Chesapeake Bay. We still have the agricultural runoff going in. We still have the fertilizer runoff going in. Same way we have in Barnegat Bay. You know, people still have lawns on when they have... I live on the water. I have stones. They have lawns.
I still don't get that, Fody. I'm driving around here, parts of Southern Ocean County, down through Cape May, out through Atlantic. Why do you have grass? You're on a lagoon. Why do you have grass?
I don't know.
Hey, Tom, listen, we're up against a hard break. Join us on the line is Tom Foti. We're going to be more on the striper debacle. And, Tom, I also want to touch on the Marine Fisheries Council, like what's happening with that. But, Tom, before I know, a little non sequitur here, but tell me it's not so. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm hearing from four, five, six different directions that someone that was involved for years fighting the windmills for recreational fishing is now working for the windmill company. Is that a rumor? What are you hearing?
Well, there's a couple of people who are working for the windmills, Kevin Walk, Adam Nowalski, but they're basically outreaching, and now Jimmy Donofrio. So they're all working for the windmill people. And, you know, they look at they're communicating with recreational anglers, and they're supposed to bring their points back and forth. But it seems a little odd for me, but yeah, that's not me.
Politics and money make strange bedfellows, folks.
What's even worse? Years ago, when we were fighting the Port Authority of New York over the ocean dumping, they asked me to come to a meeting. I didn't even know it was with the Port Authority, but I got kind of set up. And then Persis says, what can Port Authority do for New Jersey Coast Anglers since you do so many great things? And you know what it was money.
Yeah.
And I says, you can't do a damn thing because we're fighting you about ocean pollution. And that was the end of the discussion. You want to help with research and things like that. Now, let's go now 30 years later. I had the wind people says, what can we do to help Jersey Coast Anglers Association? I said, nothing. Because basically, we're supporting you. And it looks like if you gave us money, we'd able to say, we're supporting you because you gave us money. So I can't win.
Well, Tommy, hang in. Do me a favor. Grab a cup of coffee real fast. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Tom Foti. We're talking more on the striper debacle when we get back. Hang in.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi?
Afternoon. Atlantic City Electric here to install your new smart meter.
Did I order a new meter?
No. We're replacing old meters in South Jersey with new smart meters.
What's the catch?
No catch, just more insight and functionality.
Which means?
Soon, you'll have even more reliable electric service and new tools and programs to help you save energy and money.
Yep, that's smart. Learn more about smart meters at atlanticcityelectric.com/SEN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 1st and 2nd, a happy long 4th of July weekend to all people. We have some reports. I hope we get these guys because the stores are jamming back there. And the family weekend fishing, and don't forget, family weekend crabbing. Yeah, man, the blue claws are out. Get the resties, you know, with the dirty bombs. They're the ones that are packed with meat. But I digress. We're going to get back to Tom Foti. Let's talk stripers and some of the other states that seem to have... I guess forwarded this, sabotage, hoodwink, fast track, however it went down. It's ugly because as of tomorrow, one bass, again, we knew that, but 28 to 31 inches. What a chop. What a chop. And Tom, let me get back to you real fast, but I was talking to a charter skipper. He's Tom P., you know, the guys and I and other charter skippers. Again, little coders, little groups here and there. We wrapped our heads around the 28 to 1 less than 30. Okay, we dealt with it. We're working with it. The clients understand, blah, blah. Now this. What the bleep is next? What? Catch and release only? I said, hey, how about the M word? He says, what's that? Remember, the guy's too young to remember. Moratorium back in the... What? Don't have to do the Chicken Little thing, but this is scary.
It is. I mean, it is truthfully, truthfully unnecessary and scary. And, you know, Massachusetts had made the motion to keep restricting the fisheries for the last three, you know, the last addendums and everything, and it was in the forefront. And finally, it dawned on me. They're worried about their commercial fishery, and they're still fishing on 34 inches and larger fish. So they're fishing on all the big females, which everybody said they're talking, because we wanted to go to a 34-inch and largest fish in New Jersey when we basically took the 28 to 38.
Right.
We say, and they said, no, you can't do that. Yet the commercial fishery in Massachusetts, who's making the motion all the time to do this, they put the motion in the moratorium. And basically, as I think Jim Hutchinson said at the council meeting, that up there, all you have to do is buy a permit and you catch a 34-inch, because then you can declare yourself a commercial fisherman. I don't know. It's just crazy. And because Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina, because North Carolina doesn't take a hit because they're not catching any fish, Maryland and Virginia was left their bay fishery alone. That's what they really care about.
Right.
And Delaware, I don't know where they were thinking, but, you know, they were going along with this thing of Chesapeake and Potomac River. It's not affecting them one iota, so why not restrict the ocean guys? If we protect make the ocean guys more restrictive, it leaves more fish for us to catch, and we won't have to do any restrictions in the Chesapeake Bay. Now, this is real. Would be nice if they really recognized the producing areas of New Jersey, the Hudson River, and the Delaware River, because we're basically contributing a lot more fish than we started this process.
Exactly right.
We're about, some of the tag returns years show we're up to 40% between the other spawning grounds. And as the water moves up, gets warmer, we're going to have spawning in a lot different rivers just besides Chesapeake Bay, Hudson, and Delaware. I think we got it in Navisink right now. I think we got it in Connecticut and some of the rivers up there. I know we have it up in Canada.
Sure.
Their numbers are going crazy on striped bass. You want to go?
And they're killing all that. They're eating all the salmon smolts. I don't mean to laugh at that, but that's pretty funny.
So they were, you know, it's really, we basically looked, as we said, stocks have disappeared and moved up north, Ling, Whiting, Boston mackerel over the years because of warming temperatures. And basically that's part of what's happening here. And also we have the bait around us. And, you know, as I said, it's really ridiculous. When we're successful, they want to cut us. When we're not catching fish, they want to cut us. And the guys that are catch and release just want to cut us all the time. I mean, you know, I would say that I'm maybe over-exaggerating, except when New York opened the fishery many years ago, when we basically opened it after the moratorium and everybody went to 28, two fish at 28, New York didn't want to go to two fish. It was a core of a bunch of anglers, didn't want to go. And they were stuck at one fish at 28 all along, or in a larger. Because
right.
The part of your charter boats fought and got to the governor. They said, no, we'll get two fish. But they were basically eliminating the subsistence fishermen, the guys that fished and want to take fish home to eat. Again, I worked 5 years of my life getting the bill through Jersey to make striped bass no sale fish in New Jersey. And at the time, I thought it was the best opportunity and best thing for the fisheries. Because it was the only fish that was really a sport fisher, guys on the beach, guys on the jetty, and guys in small boats could actually catch a big fish weighing up to, like Reynolds did, up to 77 pounds.
Right.
And break a record. And it didn't take a lot of money. You could do it even a hand line. But this is what was going on, and that's what we did. So we basically were tech for all those people to enjoy the resource. What they've done now is take those people out of the resource. You know, you're not going to, most docks and piers on the beach, limited to a 3-inch slot limit is ridiculous.
Tom, it's not to interrupt, but it just keeps banging at my big head here about the, it's almost like the antis, it's the divide and conquer mentality. Am I off base on that?
No, I mean, they're attacking, there's a certain, you know, a lumber of guides or an association that basically want only catch and release. And they show up to every meeting. They are very influential. They get their members to write letters. The problem is the guys like sit in the beach buggy, want to take a home. They don't write the letters. They don't show up to the hearings. Well, they better show up to the next addendum that goes through. I don't know what they're going to do in August. I'll be at the meeting. They're going to try to extend this emergency action for another 100 days. I'm going to fight against it. I says, no, we got to get the amendment passed. So yeah. There'll be an amendment going out, or addendum, whatever, either one. And basically, we need to show up in force. We also need to get people in other states to start putting heat on their, you know, the party of charter boats, people who want to get beat up. And I, you know, I don't care if I get beat up. I've been beat up on every message board. They said, I'm anti-striped bass. Well, I mean, I donated 5 years of my life to make striped bass a game fish. I thought it was that important. That's one of the things I accomplished in my, you know, in my years of fisheries management. But none of those people attack the commercial guys. They don't say a word about the commercial fishery. Nobody says the guys from Massachusetts, the guys from New York, they never say, well, these shouldn't be 34-inch larger fish. They don't say anything about that. They don't talk about the Chesapeake Bay. All they do is talk about the recreational angle they want to bait. And that's really dividing the community. You know, Black Pete, as we used to call Pete Jensen from Maryland, basically when the Maryland Sport Fishing Association was going for striped bass, game fish, he went to the party and charter boat and says, I'll give you 15% of the quota if you don't do that. So pitted the charter boat guys and the commercial guys against the recreational, and that's why striped bass didn't become a game fish in Maryland. And he was smart enough to do that. And there's people that do that all the time. I mean, because he always mentioned my name, Charlie Whittaker. I haven't heard him say a word against commercial striped bass fishing.
Charlie Whittaker, the lawyer?
Yeah, Charlie Whittaker, the lawyer.
The rich lawyer?
The rich lawyer. I mean, this is made so every angler has an opportunity to take a fish home to eat. That's what I wanted. Because I grew up with, it's important for people who enjoy public resource. It's a public resource. It's for all the public. Not for the guys only in big boats. Not for the guys that only can fish from boats. It's for everybody. And it also should, we should basically regulate the fishery for all parts of the community. And that's what Jersey Coast has done all these years. We fight for the guys that fish from the beach, the piers, the big boats, and the small boats. And we try to make sure everybody gets an equal part of the pie. And that's what we need to do.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this. So if when they deign this, okay, this 3-inch slot limit didn't work. Okay, how long will that take? Again, there's amendments coming, possible amendments coming. This may not last. You know, who knows how long this is going to last, this insipid regulation. But, Tom, was there, you know, then what's next? As that charter acquaintance of mine said, charter captain says, well, what's next? Okay, that doesn't work. What's Tom, what could happen next? Could that M word occur?
No, because then they would have to do it to the commercial fishermen. It's like the stupid summer flounder rule. We have to have a catch of fish between 17 and 18 in the middle of there. I mean, because what would happen if you started, you put a moratorium in, you'd wake up all the sleeping people that, you know, as you say, you got to get people organized and get them mad. And that would get them mad. And remember the guy screaming out the window and saying, I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, right.
In Network, the movie. Well, that's it. And I hate it to say that. That's maybe what's going on. They're trying to push into a real box. Now, we can organize, you know, even the big NGO groups, you know, in recreational fishing, they're trying to be conservation because they want to be known as conservationists. But we're also supposed to be represented as, you know, whether you're any one of the big organizations that are national, not like Jersey Coast, we should be representing all the angles and worry about all of them. Because who buys tackle? It's not just the guys in big boats. If you talk to a tackle store owner, what basically keeps them operating is the guys that come in to buy a little bait, the guys that come in to buy some plugs and everything else. Right. And they're the common fisherman that goes up fishing every day, or especially the poor. I mean, when I used to go to, I was up at a meeting in Massachusetts for one of the annual meetings of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. And I went down to the canal just to see, because I hadn't been up to the canal to fish in years. And everybody on the canal was fishing. I was young back then. That's about 20 years ago. So I was only in my 50s. And all these people were there in 70s, which is what I am now. And they were all fishing. And they were looking for, they were trying to catch herring, striped bass, whatever. But they wanted something to take home for dinner.
Sure.
It helps supplement their income and their thing. And that's what we should be looking out for. And that's what, you know, New Jersey's talking about it. The National Marine Fisheries talking about it. Environmental justice. I want more than talk. I want them to basically start doing regulations that take into consideration the people we wipe out. Every time we raise a fluke limit or a scub limit, we basically push those people out of the fishery.
Let me interrupt you. It seems like class warfare in a warped way.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
Rotten real class warfare. That's what it is, I think.
Plus, they're not organized. They don't worry about them voting. They don't worry about them going, showing up to meetings because they don't show up because they get disgusted with the process and they give up. Plus, Tom, we're going to reach a point where we start losing angles. I think we already reached that point.
That's like the hunting, Tom. It's the numbers are they're inevitable. It's going to be declining. Look at the paucity now of party boats around. Barnegat Light has one left. You know, just an example. It's going away.
Did you look at the numbers of 1955?
Yeah.
How many party boats that were there? And I remember going to Sheepshead Bay when I was a kid, and my eyes would pop open because I see every one of those docks. There was about 60 party boats at that time working on a Sheepshead Bay. There was all the charter boats was to be anchored. You had to get a livery to take you out there. And that was supplying Sheepshead Bay. And, you know, 15 years ago, I went up there to testify at a congressional hearing. I said, let me go check my fishing grounds. I looked over the Stella Morris tackle store. I said, what the hell happened here? It looks like it's turned into a little tackle store. And the same thing with the other one. And I said, there was only 9 boats. And three of those boats were going out for dinner and gambling because they can't make a living. The same thing at City Island, the same thing up in Leonardo. You know how many party boats we've lost. We did a study of it. We put it out there, how many that we lost, and charter boats. I mean, the only guys that seem to be doing okay are the guys that take out customers to do catch and release.
Yep.
But the guys that want to take people out to... Here's one of the things that hit New Jersey real hard. We used to have the Mennonites and church groups come down the party boat, catch, you know, 50 scub a piece, basically come back and have a fish fry, or the Mennonites would actually take all the bluefish back to Pennsylvania, smoke them, pickle them, and everything. For the last all winter, they had fresh fish. We lost all those customers. The party and charter boats lost all those customers because they can't come for, you know, 2 bluefish or 3 fluke you know, they do scub, but they can't catch keepers in New Jersey. If you look at that, again, study, there was scub being caught in Delaware Bay. Well, we don't see scub in Delaware Bay because of warm water.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, Tom. Well, Tommy Fody, we're up against a heartbreak. We're speaking to Tom Fody. He's the legislative chairman, JCAA, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, the Jersey State Federation Sportsman's Club. And too many titles, I wrote them down, and they're lost in my file here somewhere. Tom, getting involved, it's important. How do people start to fight back? Listen, because it's going to get to the point where the guys with the guide shirt, and you know, you don't, I understand this organization, you don't even have to be a guide to belong to it, with their little shirts with a little patch on, and they're influencers, and we're getting squeezed. It's rod and reel warfare, class warfare, rather. Tom, how do you stop this train?
Well, you stop this train by getting involved. Don't just text behind your phone. You need to show up to the meetings. You need to support the groups that are fighting for you, because we're falling apart, whether it's the RFA or Jersey Coast. We don't have new members coming in. We don't have people to basically do these types of things. And the old guys are all in their 70s and 80s, and we need the young people involved. And you have to get involved. You got to show up to a hearing. And don't be afraid to state your mind. Yeah, don't worry about the guy who's going to beat you up on the internet because you're saying what's honestly you feel. Speak honestly. Tell him if you believe that you should be able to take a fish home to eat. Say that. Say that we need to manage this fishery for all the people, not just a certain few. And basically get involved. I mean, this can be that momentum. But if you don't get involved and you keep sitting by the sidelines, we're going to lose these fisheries.
Pretty soon.
Look what we got with bluefish now, 3 fish. That was needlessly also. When the bait are there, the bluefish are there. It has to do with the whole ecosystem. And all we can do is manage people, and we keep screwing the people, both commercially and recreational. They've had the same problems with black sea bass and everything else we know about. We've had the problems with because they managed to NIMS manages to avoid lawsuits. And the commission's just getting the same. They manage so they keep the loudest mouths happy. And that's what they're doing. You make the most noise, they cater to you. And because you don't show up to the meetings, you don't scream, you don't write the 500 form letters, you don't even write one letter. And don't have to be safe. Says, I don't agree with you. That's all you need.
That's all you need. Exactly right.
And I can't spell, so I used to write them, and I couldn't spell right. But I don't care what it looks like, because it shows how important that is to you, that you took the time, and you're not a letter writer, but you took the time to write a letter.
Yeah.
I mean, an old politician would tell me that I get a form letter. It's like getting a survey or somebody just signing a petition. But when I get a handwritten letter and it looks kind of sloppy, I know that's important. I count that as 100 names.
Tom, before I let you go, I have to just say one thing. I spoke to several politicians, more than a dozen, less than 100, okay? Petitions are just about, for lack of a better term, worthless. Yeah. To a man and a woman, they said, something handwritten, something typed, say email, something submitted where you took time to do instead of just putting your name down means a lot more. And as simple as that sounds, Fody, it's the God's honest truth. Wait, am I allowed to say that? Yeah, it's the God's honest truth.
And you need to ring their phones off the hanger.
Yeah.
When other groups do that, they basically close the office down because they ring. And so we need to start doing it. But we don't have that problem with New Jersey. New Jersey has congressmen and senators that basically back us up. It's the other stupid states, and you got to talk to your friends in Massachusetts Maine and New Hampshire because they just don't see it. They don't see that we're giving away the resource, and we're sooner or later going to lose it.
I mean,
we'll wind up, and my greatest fear is PETA, because they basically got to Germany, they got to Belgium, they got all these countries in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And they says, we shouldn't be playing with food. So you can't catch and release. You can only go in, and if you can catch one fish, you got to get off the stream and stuff.
Tom, I went head to head with some, and don't get me wrong. I like to fly fish. Hey, when the hatches are on, or I'm in the mood, I like to fly. But these fly fish catch and release only, catch and release only. I said, don't you know the anti? No, we're not killing fish like you, meat man. Where does this? They talk about torturing fish. That's why you catch a trout in England, but you have to priest it. You have to kill it. Germany, Switzerland, catch and release is illegal. Tom, you know that in Switzerland, catch and release is illegal. That's another topic for another day. Tom Fody, JCAA, New Jersey Federation of Sportsmen's Club. Thanks for joining us. And the best of the lovely Linda. And Tom, hope to see you on the water one of these days. We keep saying, better yet, in an Italian restaurant. What do you got that, Fody? You take care, T.
Have a good 4th of July weekend. We'll celebrate the United States independence.
That's it. You take care, Tom. Be good.
See
you. Way long in that segment. Yeah, rod and reel class warfare, what it come down to. Again, 28 to 31, that doesn't work. And there's things unfolding as I had to blog about. There's things unfolding as the weeks go on. But, wow, then where do you go from there? And a lot of people don't remember. I was just getting into the saltwater fishing game then. And I've been Long Branch, one of my Aunt Ziga Mel, Aunt Carmela, my Italian showing, that had a house of 3/4 of a block in from the last jetty from the boardwalk. So we're going to catch sea robins and fluke, bluefish. The moratorium. Ask some of us oldsters about it, you young guns. Yeah, well, you can't. You can't fish for them. You can't target them. Nothing. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us pics and videos when you see breaking news. Wake up with the alarm clock feature and more. It's all just a tap away with the WPG Talk Radio app. Download it now at WPGTalkRadio.com.
Biden not happy with the U.S. Supreme Court decision that said he did not have the authority to wipe away billions in student loan debt. The president blaming Republicans.
I didn't give Boris false hope, but the Republicans snatched away the hope that they were given, and it's real, real hope.
The Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Colorado graphic designer, Lori Smith, who'd paused her wedding website business because of a state law that would have compelled her to provide that service for same-gender couples. Smith argued that would violate her religious beliefs.
This journey started over 7 years ago when I was being censored and my speech was being compelled by the state of Colorado. I want to create websites that are consistent with my view on marriage. But the state of Colorado said, you must set aside your views. And I decided to take a stand for freedom to protect speech.
America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Air quality alert remains in effect. Overnight, humid, below 60. Saturday, humid, times of clouds and sun. A thundershower in spots of the afternoon. Smoke from Canadian wildfires can create reduced air quality. The high 84. Sunday, we'll see a thick cloud cover. It'll be humid with a couple of heavy thunderstorms and a high of 87. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, next weekend we have a great Fluke and Bluefish tournament coming up. The 26th annual Sunshine Foundation Fluke and Bluefish tournament. Join us online. Good friend of Rack and Fin Radio for 20 years we've been on the air. And also, I knew him for about a year or two before that, is Skip Deckman. He is the tournament director. Skip, thanks for joining us this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tommy.
July 8th. Let's rock and roll, Skip. Going to the rules.
July 8th is the tournament. The weigh-ins are at Parkertown Volunteer Fire Company on Railroad Avenue in Little Egg. The fishing hours are from sunrise to 3 p.m. The boundaries, everybody asked me about the boundaries. That's the Barnegat Inlet to the Great Egg Inlet.
Okay.
Both inside and out. You can be in the ocean if you want to. The weigh-in starts at 2 p.m. Don't come in at 1 o'clock with a fish and try to weigh it. We won't weigh it. So 2 to 4.
Okay.
And everything starts, the food, the party, the music all starts at 3 p.m. and it's over at 7:30. The captain's meeting is going to be at the same place, and that's July 7th at 6 p.m.
Okay, listen, the Parkertown Firehouse, very easy to get to. Exit 58, north or southbound, Garden State Parkway. Go straight down. You can go to, I guess, your second left is going to be Parkertown Drive. Make that left. Go right down. You're going to come up to a blinking light. You'll see Calvary Baptist Church right there on your right. Make the right, and boom. The Parkertown Firehouse is right there. How's that for direction, Skip? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. Good thing you live down that way, huh?
Oh, let's announce that to the world, Deckman. Okay, Skip, what's the entry fee per boat?
$75.
$35 per boat?
$75 per boat.
Oh, $75. I thought you said $35. $75 per boat. Okay, now, Skip, are there Calcuttas for the Fluke and the Bluefish besides the main prize?
Yes, there are. The main prizes, let me tell you what the main prizes are. It starts off with the first two heaviest fish, a fluke, is $800. Second heaviest two fish, $400.
Okay.
Third heaviest are $200. And the largest single fluke is $100. So if you come in with one fish, it has to go under the largest single fluke. And bluefish are the same payouts. First heaviest, $800.
Nice.
Second, $200. All right. Third, $200. And the largest, $100. Now, listen, guys, on bluefish, I remember a couple of years ago, a guy won the contest. The blue heaviest, he won all the categories for bluefish. Because he brought in a 6-ounce fish. Because everybody thought they needed a big, giant fish to weigh in.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That guy came in with a 6-ounce fish and won everything. So, you know, if you catch a bluefish, bring it in. Let's see, you know, maybe it'll put you someplace. He won the Calcutta. He won everything.
Everything. That was something. So, Skip, what time are weighing is from 2 to 4, you said?
Yes, sir.
And then at 4:30 starts the food and festivities?
Food and festivities.
Okay, that starts early. So, Skip, question now. The Sunshine Foundation, you see signs here and there, you read about it here and there. What does the Sunshine Foundation actually do?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. The Sunshine Foundation was founded in 1976 by a Philadelphia cop named Bill Samples. He was assigned to the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. And there was a terminally ill little boy there. He kept talking to the boy, and the boy said he just wanted to see snow one time. So him and a couple officers put some money together, and they sent him to the Poconos. And they felt so good about doing this, that's they did. So this is a national organization, and it helps fulfill the dreams and wishes of terminally ill, chronically ill, or physically challenged and abused children whose family have limited income. It's a great organization, and the organization since 1976, we've sent 42,000 children.
Whoa.
Okay. So it's a good organization. You hear a lot about Make-A-Wish in some of these places, and if you look at the how much these people are paid at these different organizations, you wonder how they get away with it. But the Sunshine Foundation is all volunteer.
There you go.
Okay. That's why it attracted me to it many, many years ago.
Sounds good. Listeners, next week, the 26th annual Sunshine Foundation Fluke and Bluefish Tournament. Skip, for more information, where do the people go? You have a Facebook page, website, phone number. What's the dealio?
We have a Facebook page. Okay, it's the website is sunshinefoundation.org, fishing 2023.
Okay, that works. Again. And a phone number, Skip?
Yeah, 609-709-8038.
Okay, Skip, look forward to seeing you, God spares, next Saturday, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I plan to set a record Sunshine Foundation party hot dog eating record.
Are you entering that?
If you guys have a category, count me in, man. I don't do hamburgers. I'm a Tim Steak guy. Okay, Skip, we'll see you next week, man. You take care.
One more thing, Tommy.
What? What's that?
If you got kids with you, Brad Van bring their fish in. Bluefish, sea robin, anybody under 12, they get a free entry.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Okay, Skippy, we'll see you next week.
All right, talk to you. Bye.
Yeah, I've been doing that 26 years. Good job. Okay, man, we have time for some fishing reports. Let's wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Play outside this summer at Golden Nugget Atlantic City. As the weather warms up, the party moves outside with live entertainment and weekly theme nights at the Deck Bayfront Bar and Restaurant, located on the only marina in Atlantic City. Or relax in style at H2O Pool and Bar, a refreshing rooftop pool complete with hot tubs, fire pits, and private party cabanas. H2O also offers Industry Tuesdays every Tuesday, complete with a DJ and poolside spa services. Visit Golden Nugget to experience the marina way.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back for our final segment on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. This fugly weekend of June 24th, 25th. Let me tell you something, people. At my age and my physical shape, although I'm down another 13 ounces, thank you. Anytime my feet hit the hardwood, it is a great day, no matter what. And again, the opportunity to go fishing, if this is the only time you have, again, pick your times, go crazy. Put in a call right now to a very special guest. He's a fairly frequent troubleshooting guest on Rack and Fin Radio, Captain Scott Newhall, Time Out Charters based in Absecon. Now, we fish with Scott over the years, and sometimes not in the prettiest of conditions. And the skipper put us on flounder, and flounder went in the live well. So a little segment I want to wrap it up for today with fluking fugly, or fugly fluking, however you want to call it. Scott is joining us. Captain Scott Newhall, thank you so much. Ugly weather, but there's pockets of, or windows, I should say, of opportunity. And, Scott, if this is the only time to get out on the water, do it, correct?
Correct. I mean, you got to go when you can go, right?
Scott, absolutely. Now, just a case in point, Bill, just a case in point. Late afternoon Thursday, stopped by Creekside Outfitters up there on Route 9 in Weirton. In my travels up and down the coast, guy was in there getting a pint of, up there, they say Killies, minis. It was a sort of heavy drizzle coming down, but the wind abated a little bit. I said, heading out tomorrow, doing some fresh water. He said, hell no, man. He said, I know a flounder spot by one area I don't want to mention. And he said, I have a window here. I got two hours. I got to go to my shift tonight. I'm going fishing. I said, and there you go. And there you go. Anyway, within 45 minutes, I get a text from someone. Guy got an 18-inch flounder. And there you go. So, Scott, the opportunity, take it while you can. Scott, a couple of tactics. in this, again, fugly weather, not gale force winds naturally, not heavy downpours, but when you have this inconsistent weather pattern and you do have a time to get out, what are we looking for? Where are we going? What are we using?
Well, that's certainly a complex answer, and we'll try to really take a look at all of that. You want to fish the best tides. I mean, of course, that's important all the time, but with you're talking about 20-mile-per-hour winds, maybe some rain the day before or rain the day of your outing. You might have some stirred-up water. Your cleanest water is going to come at the top of the tide, and more so the rise and the fall. You might have clean an hour or two on the ebb that's still clean. However, that top of the rise is going to be your cleanest water. And so if you're battling wind, which can suspend the sediment and can get the water cloudy, you want to talk about going at the peak time in the tidal cycle. This is a good time to consider the body of water you're fishing.
Good point.
Personally, that's a given, actually. That's kind of a joke. You should consider what body of course you should always consider what waters you fish.
But one as opposed to, if you have options, Captain, one as opposed to another, correct?
correct.
There you go.
I'm making fun. I'm being self-deprecating, of course. I like areas that provide a long drift that can go in any kind of angle. You're not tied down to a real narrow little channel, especially if the boat is twisting and turning and spinning. So in my area, I'm just going to use the Atlantic City, Absecon, Brigantine area as an example. Of course, every area has its own waters that this will apply to. I will go to an area they call the Cans, which is also Absecon Creek, because on both sides of the channel, there are productive slopes and flats. In addition to that, Absecon Inlet, where it meets Absecon Channel, which is kind of like the Harrah's Casino side of the bridge, all the way back to the AB pole, you can drift anywhere in there, anywhere from 15 feet to 40 feet, and the fluke are spread out in pockets, individuals, small schools. And so now you're combating these kinds of heavy winds, and the boat can go wherever it wants, and there's still going to be productive water, as opposed to somewhere like Black Point, which is behind Brigantine, which your productive water can be at different points at 15 feet wide.
So, Scott, again, that this is critical now. Water clarity, water temperature. It's in a constant state of flux under conditions like this. Are you big gulping it, little gulping it, live baiting it with minis?
You're staying with what's been working for you. So if you're a gulp person, stay with your gulp, your presentation, your grubs, your jerk shads, your any sort of paddle tail. If you're a live bait person, by all means, stick with the minnows. The peanut bunker made an early showing this year. In fact, in late April, up in North Jersey, I was heading out for striped bass and saw a really nice fluke-sized peanut bunker. They're also in South Jersey. They're a little bit small. I expect them to be bigger in about a week. So they're becoming available. So, yes, use the bait you prefer. Here's another tip for the wind. If you're live baiting, if you're using any of the live baits we're talking about, don't be afraid to go to heavier bank sinkers, heavier ballast, by all means. This is not the time necessarily to try to work with three-quarter ounce jig heads if, again, you're combating wind. So you're bump trolling the boat. You want to keep that bait on the bottom. You don't want to scope it out halfway across the bay or the inlet or whatever waterway you're on. And so that sometimes it may mean 2, 3, even 4 ounces of weight to stay up and down.
Scott, in the confusion of the conditions, the take of a flounder now, is it going to be tentative? Again, water's a little chilly, water's a little dirty, but you're putting something right in front of its face. Is it going to be like peck, peck, tap, tap, and then go up? Or are these things, again, they're hungry. They have, you know, they have to eat too. Are they going to smack it, whack it, and otherwise stack it?
You're going to have both kinds of strikes. You're going to have tentative strikes, especially if you're jigging the artificials. You might have where they pick it up, drop it, pick it up, drop it, pick it up, drop it, and they'll follow along before, I guess, you convince them to eat it. Same thing with the live bait. They'll crawl their way up a nice big fat minnow and before they get that hook in the mouth. Or sometimes they just inhale the whole thing and it's down their gut before you know what happened and it's easy. Barometric pressure certainly plays a role in feeding in all of nature, including flounder. So sometimes the feed is heavier right before or right at the beginning of a heavy blow.
There you go.
Sometimes it's heavy during, and sometimes, unfortunately, it slows down. And that's when we have to work even harder. If that barometer drops and the feed's a little lackluster, then we got to really go on the hunt to find a pot of fish that wants to eat.
Well, Scott, in my, I say experience, this was, as in decades, and I'd say successful, I've caught my share of fluke, a.k.a. summer flounder. Everything from Raritan Bay down to Grassy Sound and the Grassy Channel up there in Great Bay. But, Scott, it's the clarity of the water, the color of the bait, the scent of the bait. Everything has to come together. The windows of opportunity, can that bite last several drifts, or is it basically under these conditions? In your experience, and I've seen you catch some big flounder under these conditions. Is it a one-and-done thing?
No. Not by any means. You can sit there and work on the fish and put a nice catch together for a while. In fact, I believe it was Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm getting my days messed up. It was.
So you're only doing 3,000 things a day,
yeah,
between
right?
The baseball and the fishing and the charter.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Tuesday, the wind came up earlier than forecasted, And there was some nice gusts right out of the gate, and a lot of the young bucks, the young hotshots where I live, they were working their motors, using their trolling motors, and they continued to pick away. It was not a hot bite, far from a hot bite,
right?
But they plucked away fish here, fish there, fish here. A couple of 4 and 5 pounders caught. Guys were working hard, and they put it together. They didn't put their tail between their legs just because, right. Oh, they woke up and it was 15 to 20 right away. As they had said, it was going to be more of a 10, but it was already up past 15. So they went out
that,
there
yeah.
and they got after
yeah.
it. Give them credit.
Well, Scott, rain, a big factor. Again, not torrential rain, but for example, on Thursday, that misting, constant drizzle here and there, sometimes a little harder. And again, some of that annoying mist. Does that really affect the flounder that much? Doesn't this color the water that much? But no, to me, no rain, no gain, because you can catch flounder in the rain.
Absolutely. I enjoy fishing in the rain event. I don't mind. Actually, the wind that we were talking about, it's a bigger enemy than the rain.
Right.
So as the rain's coming down, no problem. I'll fish all day. Actually, if there's no wind, that's great. Rain and gnats is a pain. South Jersey gnats, right? And you're itching. You're scratching, itching the gnats and the raindrops. But in all seriousness, it's the day after a heavy flush that you wonder, let's say if it, you really had a gully washer and
like last Friday
one, right? So let's use that as an example. Roads and intersections near me were so flooded that people had to go down different roads. And I'm saying, all right, I'm going fishing tomorrow. What's it going to be like? Truth be told, I've experienced it both ways where it's shut it down for whatever reason, the bite shut down and it's been real slow. And then the event you're speaking of, they bit like crazy the next day. I called a buddy
wow.
from the water and I was like, yo, where you at? He's like, I didn't go. I thought it was going to be terrible. I said, man, they're eating the bottom out of the boat. Where are you? I was kind of teasing a little bit. He was in a little bit of state of shock. So you got to go to know kind of thing on that one.
Go to know. Join us online. Wrapping it up. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based out of Seeking. You've seen Scott doing his great seminars at the AC Boat Show, various other boat shows. You read his articles in the Fisherman Magazine, primarily. He writes for also other magazines. And Scott, thanks for joining us. Listeners, shed some light. Get out there. If you have the time and you don't want to go freshwater, I don't freshwater, that's fine. But don't sit there and bitch and moan if you have the opportunity, especially if you have your own boat. Get out there and try it. Scott, like I said, we fish with you. We've seen you get some whopper stomper flounder, and that's why I had to put in a call into you to say, to get the people fired up, get them pumped up, get out and go. Because, hey, man, not to sound dramatic, but you never promise tomorrow. You know what I mean, Newhall?
You're right. And try not to spend too much time talking about those Debbie Downers, too. So you'll start to pick up their attitude. Talk to young kids that are really after it.
Yeah.
Have them involved in your phone text. They'll get you jacked up. They'll have you so motivated, you'll be jumping out of your seat. I mean, it's who you surround yourself with will affect how you go about it. And you'll be fired up from talking to these kids that'll... They're out there at midnight sometimes, I think.
Yeah. and then, right, Scott? Fluke, do bite at night, people. Well, Captain Scott Newhall, thanks for joining us. By the way, give that Facebook page, website, phone number. Go!
It's timeoutfishingcharters.com and 609-385-3729. Thanks for having
Scott,
me,
Scott. Anytime, when I need the expert flatty. Have you seen Scott's also with all his photos, cover photos of these doormats and area rugs? Well, Scott, are you... Your schedule now, it's after Father's Day. You must be booking like you're on fire.
They're sprinkled all over the place. I wouldn't say I'm on fire in any way with the bookings. I have plenty of them, but plenty of space, if that makes sense.
Okay, Captain Scott, take it. By the way, how are Michael Benjamin and Alexander Scott Newhall and lovely mom Melissa?
Well, Michael's ready to play some Little League baseball tonight, district tournament. Alex is playing basketball. And Mom Melissa is a chauffeur like that.
Well, Scott, by the way, real quick recap on the striper situation. Now, listeners, we saw that coming with the way the vote went. No surprise with that. Oh, was it 5-2 or something like that? So they're not the Marine Fisheries Council, Jerry, is not going to go out of compliance. There's going to be another meeting next week. More on this next week, okay, with the bass. But, Scott, on the overall, did you have a good bass season?
I had a all-world bass season, all-world. Of course, as you know, I stay on the trailer, so I'm going to go in the most robust fishery. So this leads you into your segments coming up. You know, it depends who you talk to. Some people are going to say it's the best that ever was. Other people are going to say it's dreadful.
Sure, that's it. Well, Captain Scott Newhall, I'll get back to it. We'll talk to you next week, man.
You know it, Tom. Thanks again.
Take care. And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out there. Get out there. No rain, no gain. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. June. Man, time for July. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.